So, welcome everybody who is online. I see we have two devotees that signed in. Even though there's no chat, you can still sign in so I can see who I should dedicate songs to when we do the concert. So please sign in, even though there's no chat feature. We are now going to start Krishna Book. Chapter 36, Kamsa sends Akrura for Krishna. Vrindavan was always absorbed in the thought of Krishna. Everyone remembered his pastimes and was constantly merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss. But the material world is so contaminated that even in Vrindavan, the asuras or demons tried to disturb the peaceful situation. Once a demon named Arishtasura entered the village in the form of a great bull with a gigantic body and huge horns, digging up the earth with his hooves. When the demon entered Vrindavan, the whole land appeared to tremble as if there were an earthquake. He roared fiercely, and after digging up the earth on the riverside, he entered the village proper. The fearful roaring of the bull was so piercing that some of the pregnant cows and women had miscarriages. Its body was so big, stout and strong, that a cloud hovered over its body just as clouds hover over mountains. Arishtasura entered Vrindavan with such a fearful appearance that just upon seeing this great demon, all the men and women were afflicted with great fear, and the cows and other animals fled the village. The situation became very terrible, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan began to cry, "Krishna, Krishna! Please save us." Krishna saw that the cows were running away, and he immediately replied, "Don't be afraid, don't be afraid." He then appeared before Arishtasura and said, "You lowest of living entities, why are you frightening the inhabitants of Gokul? What will you gain by this action? If you have come to challenge my authority, then I am prepared to fight you." In this way, Krishna challenged the demon, and the demon became very angry by the words of Krishna. Krishna stood before the bull, resting his hand on the shoulder of a friend. The bull proceeded toward Krishna in anger. Digging the earth with his hooves, Arishtasura lifted his tail, and it appeared that clouds were hovering about the tail. His eyes were reddish and moving in anger. Pointing his horns at Krishna, he charged him just like the thunderbolt of Indra. But Krishna immediately caught his horns and tossed him away, just as a gigantic elephant repels a small, inimical elephant. Although the demon was perspiring and appeared very tired, he took courage and got up. Again, he charged Krishna with great force and anger. While rushing toward Krishna, he breathed very heavily. Krishna again caught his horns and immediately threw him to the ground, breaking his horns. Krishna then began to kick his body just as one squeezes a wet cloth on the ground. Being thus kicked by Krishna, Arishtasura rolled over and began to move his legs violently, bleeding from the mouth and passing stool and urine. His eyes staring from their sockets, he passed to the kingdom of death. The demigods and the celestial planets showered flowers on Krishna for his wonderful achievement. Krishna was already the life and soul of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And after killing this demon in the shape of a bull, he became the cynosure of all eyes. With Balaram, he triumphantly entered Vrindavan village, and the inhabitants glorified him and Balaram with great jubilation. When a person performs some wonderful feat, his kinsmen and relatives and friends naturally become jubilant. It was after this incident that the great sage Narada disclosed to Kamsa the secret of Krishna. Narada Muni is generally known as Deva Darshan, which means that he can be seen only by demigods or persons on the same level with the demigods. But Narada visited Kamsa, who was not at all on the level of the demigods, and allowed Kamsa to see him. Of course, Kamsa also saw Krishna, what to speak of Narada Muni. But unless one sees the Lord or his devotees with purified eyes, one cannot derive the actual benefit. Of course, anyone who associates with a pure devotee derives imperceptible benefit, which is called agyata sukriti. One cannot understand how he is making progress, yet he makes progress by seeing the devotee of the Lord. Narada Muni's mission was to finish things quickly. Krishna appeared in order to kill the demons, and Kamsa was the chief among them. Narada wanted to expedite things. Therefore, he immediately approached Kamsa with the real information. You are to be killed by the eighth son of Vasudev, Narada told Kamsa. That eighth son is Krishna. You were misled by Vasudev into believing that the eighth issue of Vasudev was a daughter. Actually, the daughter was born to Yashoda, the wife of Nanda Maharaj, and Vasudev exchanged his son for the daughter. So you were misled. Krishna is the son of Vasudev, as is Balaram. Being afraid of your atrocious nature, Vasudev has tactfully hidden them in Vrindavan out of your sight. Narada further informed Kamsa, Krishna and Balaram have been living incognito in the care of Nanda Maharaj. All the Asuras, your companions, who were sent to Vrindavan to kill different children, were killed by Krishna and Balaram. As soon as Kamsa got this information from Narada Muni, he took out his sharp sword and prepared to kill Vasudev for his duplicity. But Narada pacified him. You are not to be killed by Vasudev, he said. Why are you so anxious to kill him? Better try to kill Krishna and Balaram. But in order to satisfy his wrath, Kamsa arrested Vasudev and his wife and shackled them in iron chains. Acting on the new information, Kamsa immediately called for the Kishi demon and asked him to go to Vrindavan immediately to kill Balaram and Krishna. In actuality, Kamsa asked Kishi to go to Vrindavan to be killed by Krishna and Balaram and thus get salvation. Then Kamsa called for his expert elephant trainers, as well as for the wrestlers Chanura, Mushtika, Shala, Toshala, etc. And he told them, "My dear friends, try to hear me attentively. At Nanda Maharaja's place in Vrindavan, there are two brothers, Krishna and Balaram. They are actually two sons of Vasudev. As you know, I have been destined to be killed by Krishna. There is a prophecy to this effect. Now I am requesting you to arrange for a wrestling match. People from different parts of the country will come to see the festival. I will arrange to get those two boys here, and you will try to kill them in the wrestling arena." Wrestling matches are still enjoyed by people in northern India, and it appears from the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam that 5,000 years ago, wrestling was also popular. Kamsa planned to arrange such a wrestling competition and to invite people to visit. He also told the trainers of the elephants, "Be sure to bring the elephant named Kubalapid and keep him at the gate of the wrestling arena. Try to capture Krishna and Balaram on their arrival and have the elephant kill them." Kamsa also advised his friends to arrange the worship Lord Shiva by offering animal sacrifices and performing the sacrifice called Dhanur Yajna, and the sacrifice performed on the 14th day of the moon, known as Chaturdashi. This date falls 3 days after Ekadashi and is set aside for the worship of Lord Shiva. One of the plenary portions of Lord Shiva is called Kalabhairava. This form of Lord Shiva is worshipped by demons who offer animals killed before them. This process is still current in India in a place called Vaidyanath Dham, where demons offer animal sacrifices to the deity of Kalabhairava. Kamsa belonged to this demoniac group. He was also an expert diplomat, and so he quickly arranged for his demon friends to kill Krishna and Balaram. He then called for Akura, one of the descendants in the family of Yadu, in which Krishna was born as the son of Vasudev. When Akura came to see Kamsa very politely shook hands with him and said, "My dear Akura, actually I have no better friend than you in the Bhoja and Yadu dynasties. You are the most munificent person, so as a friend I am begging charity from you. Actually, I have taken shelter of you, exactly as King Indra takes shelter of Lord Vishnu. I request you to go immediately to Vrindavan and find the two boys named Krishna and Balaram. They are the sons of Nanda Maharaj. Take this nice chariot, especially prepared for the boys, and bring them here immediately. This is my request to you. Now my plan is to kill these two boys. As soon as they come in the gate, there will be a giant elephant named Kuvalapid waiting, and possibly he will be able to kill them. But if somehow or other they escape, they will next meet the wrestlers and will be killed by them. That is my plan. And after killing these two boys, I shall kill Vasudev and Nanda, who are supporters of the Vrishni and Bhoja dynasties. I shall also kill my father, Ugrasena, and his brother, Devak, because they are actually my enemies and are hindrances to my diplomacy and politics. Thus I shall get rid of all my enemies. Jarasandha is my father-in-law, and I have a great monkey friend named Dvivida. With their help, it will be easy to kill all the kings on the surface of the earth who support the demigods. This is my plan. In this way, I shall be free from all opposition, and it will be very pleasant to rule the world without obstruction. You may know also that Shambhara, Narakasura, and Banasura are my intimate friends. And when I begin this war against the kings who support the demigods, they will help me considerably. Surely I shall be rid of all my enemies. Please go immediately to Vrindavan and encourage the boys to come here to see the beauty of Mathura and take pleasure in the wrestling competition. After hearing this plan of Kamsa's, Akrura replied, "My dear king, your plan is very excellently made to counteract the hindrances to your diplomatic activities. But you should maintain equilibrium, for the result of your activities may be fruitful or may not be fruitful. After all, man proposes and God disposes. We may make very great plans, but unless they are sanctioned by the supreme authority, they will fail. Everyone in this material world knows that the supernatural power is the ultimate disposer of everything. One may make a very great plan with his fertile brain, but he must know that he will be subjected to the fruits, namely misery and happiness. But I have nothing to say against your proposal. I shall carry out your order and bring Krishna and Balaram here as you desire." After instructing his friends in various ways, Kamsa retired and Akrura went back to his home. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 36th chapter of Krishna, entitled Kamsa Sends Akrura for Krishna.
Namaste Narasinghaya, Namaste Narasinghaya, Namaste Narasinghaya, Prahlada Klada Dayane,
Praklada klada dayane Hiranya Kashipura Vakshaha Hiranya Kashipura Vakshaha Shila Dangana Kalaye Shila Dangana Kalaye Ito Narsingha Padato Narsingha Ito Narsingha Padato Narsingha Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsingha Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsingha Abahi Narsingha Jidaye Narsingha Vahi Narsingha Jidaye Narsingha Narsingha Madim Sharanam Prapadye Narsingha Madim Sharanam Prapadye Tavakara Kamalavarei Nakam Adbhuta Shringam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Chanubringam Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jad Jagadisha Harei Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Tavakara Kamalavare Nakam Adabhuta Shringam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Chanubringam Keshavadvita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadish Jai Jagadish Jai Jagadisha Hare Keshavadvita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadish Jai Jagadish Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadish Jai Jagadish Jai Jagadisha Hare So in the 10th canto, chapter 36, which is entitled The Slaying of Arishta, the Bull Demon, there is a very interesting purport, which I'm now going to read. If you want to follow along, it's the purport to text number 16 of the 36th chapter of the 10th canto. So while I prepare myself here, I will invoke auspiciousness by chanting the 12-syllable mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So text number 16 of chapter 36 of the 10th canto. Ariste nihate daitye, krishnen ad bhuta karmana, kangsayataha bhagavan, narado deva darshana. After Arishtasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa, that powerful sage of godly vision, addressed the king as follows. Now comes the interesting purport. The term Devadarshan can be understood in many ways, all of which are consistent with the context and purport of this narration. Deva means God, and Darshan means seeing, or an audience with a great personality. Thus, Devadarshan is a name for Narada Muni, and it indicates that Narada has attained the perfection of seeing God, and that getting Narada's audience is as good as getting God's, since Narada is a pure representative of the Lord, and also that Narada's audience is as good as that of the demigods, who are known as devas. That there are all these meanings of the term Devadarshan reveals something of the richness of Srimad Bhagavatam's language. Now comes the real reason why I picked this purport. I hope you are all paying very close attention, and I think that you will derive great happiness from this purport. From the Puranas, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses describing a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna that took place after Krishna had killed the demon Arista. This conversation, so kindly quoted by the Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, describes the origin of Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, Radha and Krishna's bathing ponds. The verses are as follows. The young gopi said, "Ah, Krishna, don't touch us now, O killer of a bull." Alas, even though Arista was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow. So you will have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing the Trasura. But how can you purify yourself without going to the trouble of visiting every single holy place in the three worlds?" Krishna replied, "Why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath in them. Just watch." With this, Lord Mukunda struck his heel on the ground. Then he said, "This is the water of the Bhagavati River coming from the Patala region. And now, O holy places, all of you please come here." When the Supreme Lord had spoken these words, all the holy places went there and appeared before him. Krishna then addressed the gopis, "See all the holy places?" But the gopis replied, "We don't see them as you describe." Then those best of holy places, joining their palms in supplication, spoke up, "I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am the Amara Dirgika. I am the river Shona. I am the Sindhu. I am the Tamraparni. I am the holy place Pushkar. I am the river Sarasvati. And we are the Godavari, Yamuna, and Reva rivers, and the confluence of rivers at Prayag. Just see our waters. After purifying himself by bathing, Lord Hari became quite arrogant and said, I have produced a pond containing all the various holy places, whereas you gopis must never have executed any religious duties on this earth for the pleasure of Lord Brahma. Then Srimati Radharani addressed her girlfriends as follows. I must create an even more beautiful pond, so go to work. Having heard these words, the gopis saw that Arishtasura's hooves had dug a shallow ditch just west of Sri Krishna's ponds. At that nearby spot, all the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands, and in this way a divine pond manifested in the short span of an hour. Krishna was astonished to see the lake they produced. He said, Go ahead, lotus-eyed one. You and your companions should fill this pond with the water from mine. But Radha replied, No, 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 no. This is impossible, since the water of your pond is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing a cow. I will have my countless gopi companions bring the pure water of the Manasaganga here in billions of pots. In this way, I will fill this lake with my own water and thus make its renown unequaled in the entire world. Lord Krishna then gestured to a heavenly personality who was an intimate associate of all the holy places. Suddenly that person rose up out of Krishna's pond and bowed down to the daughter of Sri Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani. Then with palms joined and tears pouring from his eyes, he began praying to her in devotion. O goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories, nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the supreme goal of all human endeavor, can understand them, and thus he feels obliged to personally make sure that you can wash away your perspiration when you are fatigued. He is always anointing your lotus feet with nectarian charu and yavak, and decorating them with ankle bells. And he rejoices and feels most fortunate simply by satisfying the tips of the toes of your lotus feet. On his order, we have immediately come here to live in this most excellent pond, which he created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us and bestow us your merciful glance will the tree of our desire bear fruit. Hearing this prayer, spoken by the representative of the full assembly of holy places, Sri Radha was pleased and said, So, kindly tell me your desire. They then told her plainly, Our lives would be successful if we could come to your pond. That is the benediction we desire. Glancing at her beloved from the corner of her eyes, Radharani, the daughter of Vrishabhanu, replied with a smile, Please come, her gopi companions, all agreed with her decision and became immersed in the ocean of happiness. Indeed, the beauty of all creatures, both mobile and stationary, was enhanced. Thus, gaining the grace of Srimati Radharani, the holy rivers and lakes in Sri Krishna Kund forcibly broke through its boundary walls and swiftly filled Radha Kund with their waters. Lord Hari then said, "My dear Radha, may this pond of yours become even more world-renowned than mine. I will always come here to bathe and enjoy my water pastimes. Indeed, this lake is as dear to me as you are." Radha replied, "I will come to bathe in your pond as well, even though you may kill hundreds of Arishta demons here. In the future, anyone who has intense devotion for this lake, which is on the spot where you chastised Arishtasur, and who bathes or resides here, is sure to become very dear to me." That night, Lord Krishna initiated a rasa dance at Radha Kund, generating a torrent of the greatest mood of splendorous pleasure. Sri Krishna resembled a cloud, and Srimati Radharani, a brilliant flash of lightning, filling the sky with abundant beauty. In this way, their divine glories permeated the expanses of the three worlds. As a final note, it should be mentioned that Narada, being a great sage, understood that the killing of Arishta more or less concluded the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Therefore, Narada, anxious to facilitate the transferal of Krishna's pastimes to Mathura, approached Kamsa and addressed him as follows. So before we do the concert, I'm going to do one more bhajan. And once again, I encourage all of you who are online to please sign in so that when I start the concert, I will know who to dedicate to, even though there's no chat feature. I hope you all enjoyed these two readings that I did today. And I'd like to dedicate this next bhajan to Rai Nitai Prabhu, whose today is his birthday. So I'd like to dedicate this next bhajan to Rai Nitai, who is there with Chandranana and also Arya Siddhanta somewhere in Arkansas, I believe. So we'll do one bhajan, and then we will start the concert, and I will dedicate to those who are signed in. So give me a second. By the way, before I started today's class, I did take a bath in Radha Kund by sprinkling a few drops of Radha Kund water on my head. So it is very serendipitous that we read this pastime today. All glories to Sri Sri Radha Kund. Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan. Shri Sri Govinda Gopinath Madan Mohan Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan Keshi Gat Vanshi Vata Dwadashakan Jaha Shabalila Koila Srinandanandan Srinanda Jasoda Jaya Jaya Gopagan Shri Damadi Jaya Jaya Dhenu Vatsagan Jaya Vrishabhanu Jaya Kirti Dasundari Jaya Purnamasi Jaya Abhira Nagari Jaya Jaya Gopishwara Vrindavana Maj Jaya Jaya Krishna Shaka Vatu Dvijaraj Jaya Rama Gata Jaya Rohini Nandan Jaya Jaya Vrindavana Vasi Jata Jan Jaya Dvija Patni Jaya Naga Kanya Gan Bhakti Te Jahara Paila Govinda Charan Shri Rasa Mandala Jaya Jaya Radha Syam Jaya Jaya Rasa Leela Sarva Manoram Jai Jai Ujwala Rasa Sarva Rasa Sar Parakiya Bhave Jaha Parajete Prachar Shri Janava Pada Padma Koriya Smaran Dina Krishna Dasa Kohe Nam Sankirtan Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Shri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Shri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Shri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Shri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan Shri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan Shri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan Okay, so now I'll begin the concert and start doing dedications. Tonight I'm going to be playing just with my guitar and singing songs just with my guitar. It's just with